I believe that we worship a living God. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that worshiping a living God means that he wants to reveal something to us, that he wants to show himself to us, that he wants to manifest himself in this place here and now.
Yeah.
We've been hearing this cry, the cry of our hearts the last couple nights. Brother Gary spoke on it on Sunday night. And just in this series we've been starting in the book of Revelation, that Jesus, we want you to reveal yourself to us in this new way. We want you to show us something that we've never seen before about you so that we may come to know you more. But I think sometimes we need to take a step before we can get there. And I'm hoping that this isn't everyone in the room. I don't think maybe it is, but I think there may be some in this room who need to take a step back and look at who they think God is. I think there are some in this room that need to shatter who they think God is in their minds. There are some of us who are perceiving God as something that he's not. We're seeing and viewing God as something other than he is. And so we talked this morning about the Church of Ephesus and yesterday morning about the Church of Ephesus and how they had left their first love. And how one of the first ways we talked about remembering repentance and returning, and how in remembering we come to go back to the place where we started. We remember those places of our first love. But I think it's hard for us to remember clearly the place that we started if the place that we're at right now is skewed. If our vision and what we're seeing and what we're believing in is something different than what it actually is. Many of you probably know St. Augustine of Hippo. He was one of the early church fathers back in the 400s, and he had a pretty crazy life. He started young, kind of getting in the wrong scene, in the wrong crowd, and he wanted nothing to do with Christianity. He was kind of the prototypical prodigal son story. And he wanted nothing to do with the church. He was very far away. And then he comes to this great conversion story, and he writes this book called Confessions. And in this book, it's the story of how he comes to know Jesus and all the things that he went through. And he goes and pours that out on these pages. I was in Italy. I had the chance to go to Italy I think it was in March. And I was doing it for a class trip. It was for credit, course credit. And we were able to go to the church where Augustine of Hippo was baptized in, I don't even remember which city it was. I think it was in Milan, by Ambrose of Milan, so that would make sense. So it was in Milan, and we were able to go to this church and see where Augustine was baptized. And while we were there, one of the professors on the trip, he was speaking to us about Augustine and who he was and why he was important and all these things. And then at the end, he started to talk about a book that Augustine wrote at the end of his life, near the end of his life. And the book was called Retractions. That was the name of this work that he did. And basically what he goes through in this work is all of these different things that he had believed, maybe very firmly, maybe not so firmly, but things that he had said and spoken to people and that he had changed his position on a little bit. Or maybe he didn't feel so confident maybe about speaking so authoritatively on that thing. And so he writes this book, and he's known as one of the great teachers of the Christian faith, one of the early church fathers. And at the end of his life, he writes a book of retractions and says, I didn't really know a lot of what I was talking about. There's a lot I'm still really unsure of. And then our professor went on to say, this is a quote by Augustine, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher it now, but the essence of the quote was, we need to wake up each and every new day and shatter our preconceived notions, shatter our thoughts about who God is, and start afresh. Start new each and every day. And I think some of us need to do that tonight, to truly ask God, before we can ask God to truly reveal himself to us, we need to take a moment and say, first, I need to shatter everything I thought about who God was. First, I need to take a step back and say, who really are you? If you look quick at Acts 17, there's the famous address of Paul to the men of Athens, and he's in the Areopagus. A lot of times we read these verses and we think that Paul is just going to this place filled with different gods and idols, and he's just going in there looking around, and now he's going to just start preaching to them this amazing message. But if you look just a few verses before, while Paul's in Athens, he's causing a lot of uproar. We know that's kind of Paul's thing, right? He loves to just cause a lot of tension in the air. And so now he's in the Areopagus, and he's before the men of Athens, not just preaching a word, but he's on trial now. He's standing before them, and he's on trial, and they're saying, okay, you were accused of doing this, and now we need you to explain yourself. And so Paul goes on to explain himself. He says, look, you guys seem very religious. I can see that. That's good. He recognizes that. He points that out. They would have liked that a lot. There was a lot of idols that they would have said, yeah, we are very religious. That's good. And then he goes on to say, verse 23, as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. Paul's standing up and saying the same thing that maybe I'm trying to convey to us tonight, probably in a little bit of a different setting, because they're idol worshipers and they're in this place and they're crafting images of this unknown God. And we're sitting here tonight knowing who Jesus is as Lord and Savior. So there's a little bit of a difference there, I think. But what Paul is saying is, there are some things you think about this God of mine that is wrong. And you need to come to see that he does not live in temples made by human hands. You need to come to see that he is not some figment of your imagination that you could just carve an image out for him. And I'm scared tonight that some of us have carved this image of who God is, and we think that's who we're worshiping. And we're saying, God, reveal yourself to us, but the person we're thinking is revealing himself to us is not really God. And we think on the experiences that we've had in our lives. We look maybe at relationships that we have in our families, and we say, man, I don't know how God could allow that to happen. We look at maybe hurts that we've had in the past, or hurts that we're going through right now. Man, Jesus, are you really the lover of my soul, and you're allowing this to happen? We look at our family members that are so far away from the Lord, and we're saying, God, you're the God of salvation, and you're allowing this to happen? And we begin to have our minds warped by what other people are saying and by what other people are thinking. And we heard the other night about what we see on Hollywood, what they're portraying God to be. And honestly, we could get so caught up in theology and doctrine and studying these different parts of God that we're missing the part of actually being with him, like we heard in Mark chapter 3. As disciples, one of the things we're supposed to be doing is be with him. And so that's what Paul is saying. Look, he's not contained by what you can build. He's not contained by what you can see. So shatter that. Throw that on the ground. Get rid of that now and allow him to truly reveal himself to you. Because in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So Paul's in the midst of all these idols. He's in the midst of all these men who are now listening very intently, trying to pick out what may be wrong. And he's showing them, look, you're wrong. Your perceptions of who God is, of who Jesus is, are wrong. I'm going to guess that each and every one of us have a little bit of something wrong in the way we're viewing Jesus tonight. But in verse 27, Paul gives some hope. He says he's actually not far from each one of us. He's not far from us tonight. I believe he's in our midst tonight. I believe the Spirit of God is here tonight. Yes. We have been seeking after him. We have seen his hand at work in these days. But I think some of us may feel like, we had a great prayer meeting last night, but Jesus didn't reveal himself to me. Jesus didn't heal me. Jesus didn't touch me. Jesus didn't meet me quite in the way that people are talking about. He's not far from us tonight. And so I think before we get into more of the book of Revelation, before we get into more of Jesus revealing himself through his word and manifesting himself that way, maybe we could just take a moment and pray, Lord, shatter what I think I know about you. Let me come to you now in this moment and see you afresh, see you new. Reveal yourself to me in a way that I've never seen before, in ways that I don't understand, in ways that don't make sense, Lord God. Do it for us tonight. So that's my prayer. We just sang that song. There was a lot of I know nots at the beginning. That's how each verse was beginning there. But I know who I have believed. And we can know who we have believed tonight. And we can know that he is near to us tonight and that he wants to. He's the living God that wants to reveal himself to us tonight. But sometimes that just takes us giving over what we think that we know, what we think that we have, and allowing him to teach us again. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you don't forsake us, Lord God, even when we don't know, Lord Jesus, what we're thinking, what we're talking about, who we're going after, Lord God. You are faithful to show yourself to us. Lord, would you give us the ability tonight, Lord, to remember where we have come, Lord God, from where we have first started, Lord Jesus, to return back to our first love, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that we would be able to move past, Lord, what we have built, Lord, these temples and handmade images that we have built, Lord God, and that we have contained you to, Lord, because you are greater than anything, Lord, that we could make, anything, Lord, that we could come up with. And so I ask today, Lord, that you would shatter, Lord God, our very thoughts and ideas, Lord, that have nothing to do with you, that are so far away from your heart and your love for us, Lord Jesus, that we would come tonight and experience you anew. Would your spirit fall afresh on us tonight, Lord Jesus? Jesus. We ask this now in your precious and holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that you might see you, Jesus. Jesus,
fierce and long the battle rages, but our hope is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us Jesus and to teach us of Jesus. Oh, that He would do that tonight. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Spirit of God, reveal to us Jesus. Reveal to us Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. One of the enemy's most powerful tactics and strategies is to distort and to pervert what is true. And if he could get us to see a Jesus that is not, if he could twist our vision and pervert our understanding of who Jesus really is. He's winning victory. But the Spirit of God is at work. Will reveal to us truth and a vision of Jesus. Lord, do that now as we look again at the revelation that John had and how you revealed yourself to him and to these churches. Would you do that tonight for us, Lord? Would you help us to see clearly and purely this vision of Jesus? We have no other source but your word and your spirit that illuminates your word. And so now as we look at your revelation, help us to see. In Jesus' name, amen.